Good morning, Discovery. I am very excited to be sharing this passage with you today. And it is very awkward recording from my desk, but I'm glad to be here with you and excited to talk about 2 Chronicles 17 through 20. Most of the time I've focused on chapter 20 when I've looked at 2 Chronicles 20 and haven't really spent much time beyond that with Jehoshaphat, but I was super intrigued by chapter 18, so we're going to spend a bit of time there and get to know Jehoshaphat a little bit better. Often when I do a character study, I want to do this and don't do that, be like this, be like that. But I think that that's not really how we work as humans. If it was, I would eat more vegetables, I would exercise more regularly, I'd have less screen time, and I'd sleep 8 hours each night. More often when we are struggling with something or that we want to do or that we should do or shouldn't do, we try to negotiate with the situation to get more at what we want. Like, if I have to eat those vegetables, I'm gonna eat dessert. Of course, this is the small thing, but I do say it because negotiating with our desires is normal. We can even be motivational to help us make good choices when I lump something I enjoy with something I really don't want to do. Like, I get to listen to books on Audible when I do the dishes. But this way of life can also work against us, and when the life I'm building centers on me, I will try to negotiate my way to keep me at the center even when I know better. So with this in mind, let's dive into the story of Jehoshaphat and consider the ways we see ourselves in him. Jehoshaphat was generally a good king, and in verses 3 through 5 of chapter 17, we read, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the earlier ways of his father by not seeking Baal. Instead, he sought the God of his father, and unlike Israel, he followed God's commandments. The Lord gave him firm control over the kingdom, and all of Judah brought Jehoshaphat tribute so that he had abundant riches and honor." And in verse 10, we see that all the kingdoms surrounding Judah were afraid of the Lord and didn't wage war against Jehoshaphat. So things were going really well. He had a very stable kingdom, huge army, riches and wealth. But rather than seeking God for what's next, he decided to keep kingdom building, just like his fathers before him. Marry into King Ahab's family of Israel. Jehoshaphat goes to visit and gets wined and dined by King Ahab. Remember, he's a strong king and his army is twice the size of his father's before him. There is peace on all sides. So going to hang out with Ahab is just bonus to Jehoshaphat. He's in a good situation. He does not need Ahab, but he marries into the family. And as he's being wined and dined, Ahab says, "Will you go to war with me?" Jehoshaphat responds with, "Sure, but let's ask the Lord." And Ahab says, "Fine. I have 400 prophets, bring them in." They all say, "Attack, go to war." Jehoshaphat says, "Can we ask a prophet of the Lord?" Ahab says, "I don't like that guy. He never says anything good about me." To which Jehoshaphat responds, "You shouldn't talk like that as a king." And Ahab says, fine, bring them in. And the Lord's prophet, it's not good. He says, "Israel will be scattered like sheep without a shepherd." And Ahab says, "Point taken. See, he's all negative. He never says anything good to me." And the Lord's prophet says, "It's actually worse than that. God is willing that you would go to battle and be killed." So what do they do at this point? Ahab and Jehoshaphat go to battle. In fact, Ahab says, "These other guys, they want to kill a king, so I'm not going to dress like a king. But Jehoshaphat, you should totally dress like a king. Go in with all of your robes." And Jehoshaphat says, "Okay." Why? The other king had commanded his chariot officers, "Don't bother with anyone big or small. Fight only with Israel's king." So of course, when the chariot officers see Jehoshaphat in all his kingly robes, they assume that he must be Israel's king, and they turn to attack. Now I want to pause here. How did Jehoshaphat get here? You can tell all along he's not sure this is a good idea. He's a strong king. Why not just say no? It's almost like he's going there looking for a way out. Like, he wants someone to stop him, but he's the king. He had power. He had choice. He could walk away. He could leave. He could listen to the prophet and say, I don't want to be a part of this bloodbath. But he didn't, because there was something he wanted more. He wanted the alliance with Ahab. He wanted the power. He wanted the kingdom built around him just a little more. So he even went along when he knew better. His desire to orient himself at the center is what got Jehoshaphat to this place. And each step of the way, he knows something is wrong. He tries to negotiate that feeling away by saying, well, let's talk more to the Lord, or what does the Lord's prophet say? And every time he justifies his current course, he actually is giving up his own agency, the power that he has. He gives his will away, but not to God. He defers to Ahab. And I want us to consider the ways in which we are like Jehoshaphat, the ways that we go along even when we know better. Maybe it's jokes, maybe it's politics. What would make you let go of peace on all sides for a guaranteed loss? For me, I struggle with avoidance. I think I've talked about this before. I want to avoid the hard places I feel like I need to fix, but I don't know how to fix. Of course, if I put God at the center, I have a chance for peace at all sides. If I leave me at the center, it's definitely a losing proposition, but man, I can talk it away. I can't control it, so I look the other way. I ask people to pray about it for me, but I don't pray. I employ all kinds of gymnastics to keep me from having to look at this thing that I'm afraid of, the thing that I don't want God to be at the center of. When we try to negotiate away these things, we are giving up the power that God has given us to resist temptation. That is himself. And this happens all the time in big ways and small ways, with shopping, escapism, food, upward mobility, keeping up with the Joneses, anytime we try to build an empire or a kingdom with me at the center. And here's where we see the turn. When Jehoshaphat cried out, the Lord helped him, and God lured the chariots away from him. Verse 32, chapter 18, when the chariot officers realized that he wasn't Israel's king, they stopped chasing him. And for Ahab, someone randomly shot an arrow that randomly struck him between the joints of his armor, and he died at the end of the day. So Jehoshaphat goes home to Jerusalem, and he gets a message from the Lord, and it goes like this: why did you help the wicked? Why have you loved those who have hated the Lord? This is why the Lord is angry with you. This is not just a word about Ahab, that Jehoshaphat helped him or loved him. This is a word about building a kingdom where we are center. When we are center, we give ourselves away to those things that would draw us away from God. When we build ourselves at the center, I want us to consider today for the weight of what it is that when we choose to build a world where we are center rather than God, we are helping the wicked and loving those who hate the Lord. And still, the good news is that the Lord spared Jehoshaphat and saw the ways he had centered God and called the people to faithfulness. Jehoshaphat, realizing how far he failed and fell, returns and tries again. He goes out to the people, calling them to faithfulness. He appoints judges and says, be careful when you pass judgment. You aren't dispensing justice by merely human standards, but for the Lord who is with you. He is centering the Lord in the ways that they rule, in the ways that they judge. Therefore, respect the Lord and act accordingly, because there can be no injustice, playing favorites, or taking bribes when it comes to the Lord our God. So here's where I call my friends and I say, I need God to be at the center of this thing. But I'm afraid. And I'm afraid to give up the little kingdom I built to protect me. And I ask my friends to help me by asking very specific questions to help keep me honest and making choices to keep God at center. If it ended here, I think I'd be encouraged enough. But God is good to show us how much he is for us and how much he will be a good king to us. And this is in chapter 20. It's crazy. We learn a huge army of three nations is coming against Judah. And frightened Jehoshaphat decided to seek the Lord's help and proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. People from all the cities, Judah's cities, came to ask the Lord for help. They cry out, "We don't know what to do, and we are looking to you, Lord, for help." This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged by this great army. This is verse 15, chapter 20. Because the battle isn't yours. It belongs to God. March out against them tomorrow. You don't need this fight. You don't need to fight this battle. Just take your places, stand ready, and watch how the Lord who is with you will deliver you, Judah and Jerusalem. Don't be afraid or discouraged. Go out tomorrow and face them, and the Lord will be with you. So the musicians lead the way out. They're going up to this high place, and as they are marching up, they break out into joyful song and praise, and the Lord launches a surprise attack against the Ammonites and the Moabites so that they were all defeated and turned on each other till the last one. It's crazy. All they did was walk up to this high point where the Lord would show them his deliverance. When the people cry out, when Jehoshaphat cried out, when you cry out to God, knowing it is he who saves, the Lord will answer. God is calling people who are faithful to keep him at the center of their lives by building his kingdom, not our own. And again, in chapter 20, verse 29, we see the fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against Israel's enemies. As a result, Jehoshaphat's rule was peaceful because his God gave him rest on all sides. I wish I could say that Jehoshaphat never blundered again, but he did. He built his kingdom and built some ships with another alliance, another marriage, and the Lord wrecked the ships. But this does help me remember that it's not one battle, won, and done. It was Jehoshaphat's very reasonable kingly desire to get him that got him tied up with Ahab and then Ahaziah. It was his desire to orient himself at the center. And I have seen God in my own life try to warn me when I'm going down the wrong path. It's when I know something is not quite right. Or when I have to work to justify my current course, or I'm nervous to tell a friend. Or often it's even when I just defer choice to another rather than to God. So here's the question for the week as we think about Jehoshaphat. Is there an area of life where God needs to be invited more deeply into the center? It may be in parenting, it may be at work, it may be in the decisions that you make for food, it may be the ways that you choose to spend money. Is there an area of life where God needs to be invited to the center? And who will you invite to help walk with you? And if there isn't an area that comes to mind, that's great. I want you to consider what word from this passage do you want to remember and share that with a friend. I am amazed at the ways that God is gracious in this whole chapter 17 through 20, the ways that Jehoshaphat erred and wandered and still came back to the Lord. I'm inspired by that. I'm also amazed at how God, when we praise him and give him glory and put him at the center, is able to do far more than I can ask or imagine. What is it that you want to share with a friend? So good to be with you, Discovery. Let me pray. God, in the ways that we avoid or put ourselves center in some of the ways that we live our lives, whether that's because it's just in the normal cultural norm of the day, or if it is because we're afraid to find out what will happen if we let go of control in that area. God, we ask that you would be center of all of our lives, of every area. We pray that you would give friends good words of grace and encouragement to share. And that as we turn to you more and more, Lord, that we would see the ways that you are constantly winning battles for us. You are a good king, and we praise you and give you glory. Amen.